Our guest today on Personally Speaking is Tom Kiely. Wonderful man. We'll talk about lots of the values he holds. But importantly, he's written a book called The Perfect Season. Lots of us talk about writing a book someday about parts of our life. Tom actually did it. It's a great book. We'll talk about him, his life, his values here on Personally Speaking. Please stay with us. Hello and welcome to Personally Speaking. I'm your host, Monsignor Jim Lasanti, and Tom Kiely joins me now. Tom was raised in Elmont on Long Island and graduated from Chaminade High School in 1962. He was a tackle and linebacker on the undefeated and untied 1961 Chaminade football team. Tom graduated from the College of the Holy Cross in 1966, where he was a three-year letterman on the varsity football team, and he coached football and basketball at Chaminade High School for 10 years. Tom has co-written a book about his experience at Chaminade called The Perfect Season. The subtitle is The Untold Story of Chaminade High School's First Undefeated and Untied Varsity Football Team. Tom is married to Barbara for 57 years, and together they're the parents of three grown children and seven grandchildren. He's here with us today to talk about his life, his family, his Catholic faith, and his experience at Chaminade High School. Very happy to have joining me now and pleased to welcome to Personally Speaking the wonderful author, the wonderful human being, Tom Kiely. We want to welcome Tom Kiely on our show. He's written a wonderful book with Chuck. Chuck, I'll talk about a little bit. Mansfield's an old friend of mine called The Perfect Season. And the subtitle is The Untold Story of Chaminade High School's First Undefeated and Untied Varsity Football Team. Is it supposed to be untied?
Untied.
All right. We'll talk about that a little bit. You know, I went to my high school reunion too. Mine was like 52. We should have been 50th, but COVID got in the way. When you went to that 60th reunion and were inspired to write this book, what happened at the reunion that made you say, let me record something that was important in our lives?
Well, I think if I remember correctly, there are different versions of this, but the idea for the book had already been laid on earlier.
Okay.
To just back up a short bit, our teammate and good friend, Al Groh, who was a longtime pro and college coach, had been still in the college game as head coach of University of Virginia when he suggested that we have a 60th reunion because he had missed our 50th reunion.
Oh, okay.
Shortly thereafter, a prominent urologist in Boston, who is kind of our historian, team historian, who graduated by the way with Bill O'Reilly, suggested that we do a book in connection with the reunion. Chuck and I agreed to do the book on a condition that a sufficient number of players contributed to the book. Mm-hmm. We thought that this should be a book of true impressions, perhaps rather than true facts. But, you know, the way it hit that people, how they felt about the year. And we got a little less than half the book, contributors, teammates. And Chuck and I probably wrote a little more than half the book between the two of us.
Tell us about your relationship with Chuck. Have you stayed friends over these 60-some-odd years?
Fast friends. I met him when I was 14 years of age when we tried to work together for the freshman team at Chaminade. Probably neither of us having any idea that we would make the team or play on the team. And I went to Holy Cross College with Chuck. We've been friends since. Another good friend of mine, the co-captain who's on the cover, Earl Kermza, went to Chaminade with us, was a teammate, and also went to Holy Cross. And Al, after being a teammate of ours at Chaminade, went down and played at the University of Virginia, where eventually he coached pretty much the last 10 years of his career. I was the head coach of the New York Jets for 1 year. I don't know if you remember the Belichick-Parcells kerfuffle, but he wound up with the job when famously, Belichick said, "I resign as HC from NY Jets." And up to New England, 23 years. Yeah.
Well, he had quite a career. You know, in the perfect season, Tom Kiley's our guest. You talk very glowingly and importantly about the coaches who formed and shaped the team, and talked about them as not just great coaches, but as a very moral men of great rectitude who obviously lived their faith. It makes me wonder, when you look back on that experience of these coaches, coaches have, I think, an incredible and long-term effect on people's lives. The effect your coaches had on you through the rest of your lifetime was what?
A lifetime effect. But we had only two coaches.
Okay.
Joe Thomas, a legendary coaching factor at Chaminade for well over 20 years. And Charlie McGuckin, his assistant, his chief lieutenant during my time there. And then Charlie left and built the Holy Family Championship football program from the ground up in the late 60s, I guess, when the diocesan schools were established, 66, 67, that period. I think Maria Regina was one of those.
That's right.
Well, my good friend Al Menendez was a mm-hmm. coach. And I was a JV basketball coach as well as football coach at Chaminade, and we opposed each other, Al and I. He went on to great things, of course, in the pros.
Now, Tom, you say in the book, too, that what was acceptable back in the early 1960s in terms of there being tough and demanding coaches might not play well today. Did you know that you were being treated back then with great toughness, or was it just par for the course?
Well, I think to some degree it was par for the course, but we were even parer for the course. The Chaminade system was very, very, very difficult. We practiced in 92, 93 degree heat in the middle of August. There was no water on the field. Hard to believe that.
Yeah.
I went back to Chaminade to coach maybe 6 years later. Water was now on the field.
Good.
even hydration was not understood very well in 1961. But the coaches were Catholic men. They were communicants. Mm-hmm. They were family men. We took notes. We took notice. They were all that they were cracked up to be. There was no mm-hmm. what you saw is what you got. And they trained us. Our first game of the year was against Hicksville, who won their championship that year in 92 or 93 degree heat. And we were made for 93 degree heat at Chaminade. Yeah. It was perfect for us. It was not perfect for Hicksville High. That was our first
game. We're talking to Tom Kiley, and we're talking about his book, The Perfect Season. But the other thing you mentioned is the risks of the time versus our time now. We had on Tom a couple of years ago, the Nigerian doctor who wrote the book Concussion, about the real challenges of protecting football players from long-term damage to their brains and their bodies as well. But it certainly seems to have changed. I know a lot of parents who will have misgivings about their kids playing football. As not only a football player yourself, but as a dad and a grandfather, What do you think of what's been discovered in terms of the possible risks of playing the game?
Well, I have not had to face that. I discouraged my own son from playing because he was 119 pounds.
Oh, okay.
As I remember, he went to Holy Trinity High School, and as I remember, that was my principal reason at that time. He's now 55 years old. I think that now the techniques taught are much better. Our point of contact was the helmet, both blocking and tackling, which I know it sounds hard to believe, but that was the point of contact, both blocking and tackling. Today, you slip to the side, you hit with the shoulder, and I think they have done a great job in minimizing those kinds of serious injuries. But you still have, even in the pros, you see the guy's head snaps back and it hits the turf, and the turf is harder than grass. And so you still have concussion protocols that occur 2-3 times a game in a pro game today.
Tom, you saw, and I saw recently in the past year anyway, a professional football player who went down when he was damaged, and apparently his heart stopped, and he did momentarily die, was brought back to life. But I think what struck not just America, but the world, was the image of two teams immediately falling to their knees to pray. Now, the folks at Sports Illustrated would probably have a problem with that. I'm sure there are some people who would object to prayer on the football field. But you talked, too, in that the perfect season about the fact that prayer was very much part of your experience in high school, both as a student at Chaminade and as a member of the football team. Were you any worse the wear for the experience of praying before a game?
Not at all. And I think that that is one of the supports that has held this team together for 60 years. I'm sure we all differ in some ways in our, if I can use the term, beliefs. You have to be a little flexible with your beliefs these days, I think.
Right.
But we're solid in the faith. Yeah. And we're solid in the faith. And the Sunday after we had great times, dinner two nights during our 60th reunion, we went to the retreat house at Chaminade, which is around the block. One, it's a three-story house that they purchased. It's around the block from the athletics and the athletic activity center. And we had mass and a communion breakfast. It was celebrated by our classmate. That's a solid part of our experience for the last 50 or 60 years is our faith.
Please stay with us. We'll be back with more of our interview with Tom Kiley in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Al Roker. Let me tell you what's happening in your neck of the woods. Right now, 1 in 6 Americans don't know where their next meal is coming from. These are our neighbors, friends, our coworkers, but we can do something about it. Visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find the local food bank in your community. I'm Al Roker, and together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Personally Speaking. I'm your host, Monsignor Jim Lasanti, and author Tom Kiley joins me now. Tom has co-written a great book about his experience at Chaminade High School. It's called The Perfect Season. We're talking in terms of 50 and 60 years, so I have to stop you there and say that one of the things you've done with the past 60 years is to make a commitment for almost 60 years, 58 years to be exact, with this wonderful woman named Barbara. So I got to ask you, how did you meet? Why is she still the life partner of your life? And what have you learned along the way, Tom, about how to make the great experience of marriage work? I have a rabbi friend who calls marriage the hard way out, and it can be that, certainly. But you and Barbara have built a great relationship, a great family. Any insights into how it happened and how you maintain that love?
Insights. Well, first of all, there's nothing like just sort of seeing a girl for the first time, as I did with Barbara. We were, I was her blind date, senior dance at a Lady of Mercy. Okay. And actually thinking, could this be the one? We have really, with very few ups and downs, there were a few, but very few ups and downs, we have been together since we began dating in college. And it's that simple. We got married very quickly after we graduated from college. And we've been together since, through three children, all Catholic school kids, through seven grandchildren now, all of whom live in Massapequa, if you can believe that. Two of them live on the same block. And we have just built a whole life around our children, our grandchildren, and equal love for Chaminade and Holy Cross. And on her part, Our Lady of Mercy and the College of New Rochelle, from which she graduated.
What's so special about Barbara?
She is a beautiful, loving, caring, and always at my side, always at my shoulder. Mm-hmm. She dressed me for this performance. She put my button up, my Chaminade button on. She made sure that the jacket looked good and the hat was appropriate. That's a Chaminade hat, if you can't see. And so to this very second, she has been instrumental in making me look good in life.
Those three children who turned out pretty darn good that you and Barbara raised together, when you look back on the things, again, parenting is something you learn by doing. There's no book on how to do it perfectly, but your kids turned out good and produced then an additional 7 grandchildren, right? If I'm right with the number. When you look back to how you and Barbara did it, what do you think you did right?
Well, first of all, I give her all credit because once I got out of the coaching game, which I did after 10 or 11 years, I finished up as the defensive coordinator for the Merchant Marine Academy in Kingston. I joined a law firm in an administrative capacity, which I did for almost 40 years.
Wow.
So I worked long hours. I had a 3-hour round trip commute. And she, the thing about it, I always remember her is I never came home and she told me what the kids did. And I know many mothers did that. You know, you tell your father what you, he's exhausted. He comes in and, you know, no, she dealt with everything. And if I think there was one key to our raising our children is that we stuck together on what to do, even if maybe one of us didn't really agree with the other, with mm-hmm. exactly what the other one, we thought it was better to be consistent yeah. and stick with each other than to, try and do it easier or harder, or, you know, tell in front of the kids, say, yeah, well, you're not doing this the right way, but it's about time we do something about it. No. If we discussed that at all, it was out of the sight and ears of the kids. So
many kids try to do divide and conquer, but you and Barbara didn't let them divide and conquer, did you?
And I would rather see her doing something that I maybe wouldn't have done myself, but right. she was on site, she did it. And I would rather stick with that as far as the kids knew than, you know, enter into an alternate plan, so to speak.
You know, Tom, back in the day when you would have gone to Chaminade, certainly the tuitions would be nothing like they are now. You put your three kids through Catholic schools, but when we're paying, as we are on Long Island, incredibly high taxes, and then to take on the additional expense of paying for Catholic schooling, when you look back on your own experience and your children's experience, would you do it again? Was it worth it to come up with that extra money for Catholic education?
Absolutely. And I had three children 1 year apart, so they were all in Trinity together for 2 years. So, you know, but of course the numbers pale in comparison to the numbers today. Yeah. But I thought it was worth it. Barbara thought it was worth it. We all, mm-hmm. my children went to Marist College. They went to University of Scranton with the Jesuits.
Right.
Tommy went to Hofstra, but we're steeped in Catholic education, and we absolutely think it was well worth it. Myself, when I went to Chaminade, they raised the tuition. I think it was to $35 a month.
The nerve of them. Can you imagine? Today love to hear that kind of tuition.
I was a little pitcher with big ears, and I can remember my father and mother saying to each other, how are we going to pay $35 a month? And my mother said to my father, which was typical of her, an Irish mother, she said, God will provide. And that almost instantaneously, my father was promoted from second lieutenant to first lieutenant in the U.S. Army. And he got about a $35 a month rate.
So, there are no accidents, Tom Kiley. There are no accidents. I got to ask you, one of the things that brought us together was the fact that a lot of Catholics will simply try to grow where they're planted. They have a particular parish, a particular village. That's where they stay, whether it's good for them or not. You and Barbara have occasionally done some shopping around. And in shopping around, you go where you can be spiritually fed. Tell us how come you do that and what's the benefit?
Well, I have to say, I don't think it was planned. It just happened. I was born in Brooklyn. I was baptized at what we used to call St. James Pro Cathedral.
Sure.
Then downtown Brooklyn. We moved out to Long Island when I was in the third, my first grade at St. Boniface, Helmont, which you know well.
I do.
But was third grade. Father Hack, Father Bozell were my mentors. And then it kind of was a natural progression. We moved to Helmont. St. Vincent de Paul was my parish. Okay. So we became parishioners. We went to Mass in a dugout, a VFW dugout in the old days, as many, many early parishes did. And then when we moved to Levittown, Holy Family Grammar School beckoned to our children, and that was our parish. And then all seven children, grandchildren of mine, went to St. William the Abbot. They all attended St. William the Abbot, and they were in the plays. They were in the choirs and all kinds of activities. And so we felt, you know, on a Sunday, why were we going to go to Holy Family? We would go over to St. William's. It was a 15-minute ride, but we did it for many, many years. And then my grandchildren started to go to my grandson started to go to Mass with us. And for reasons I won't go into, we kind of wandered into Our Lady of Lourdes. And there we met you. And the experience was so great that for the last 3 years, essentially, we have attended the 10:30 Mass.
And that's a beautiful experience. It's so good for me to see so many people. And, you know, we call it the parish without boundaries because people come from all over. Tom Crowley's talking about Our Lady of Lourdes Parish in Massapequa Park, New York, where I've had the privilege of being a pastor for 15 years and loving it. But I especially love that people like Barbara and Tom get in their car and drive that extra mile to come and join us. And I love that the people there truly live that motto that we've made for the parish, which is kindness matters and everybody's welcome. So thank you for being part of that, Tom. Let me ask you, for your kids and your grandchildren who would ask you even now, yeah, what do you get out of this every week going to Mass? What do you say to them?
What do I say to them? Well, I love Scripture. Mm-hmm. I love the Scriptures. I love how you handle the Scriptures. And I love the key moments in the Mass, the consecration, the transubstantiation. I get into the depth of the holiness, and it's just an important part of our week. I can't really say it better than that.
Okay. Tom Kiley is our guest. His book is The Perfect Season. Tom, you know, because we have lived long and wonderful lives, you and I and Barbara, inevitably, the church, while it's the church of God and founded by Jesus, is also a human institution that has made mistakes along the way, human errors. When the church messes up, as it does in your lifetime and mine, how do you see past that and still decide, I'm not leaving?
Well, because as you put it, it's a church of men and women. Mistakes are made. And the institution remains, I think, important, and it remains solid. And some of the tough times are cyclical. I look past the problems, as you put it, the 4% of priests that may have strayed in terrible, terrible ways. But that doesn't change my relationship with God, nor has it ever. Although I am quite sad to see the harm that, of course, even a small percentage of people can do, especially to people on the outside of the church.
When Tom Kiley prays, I guess all of us were raised to some extent with the idea of negotiating with God, making a deal, Monty Hall style. And I mention that because there are times when even trying to make the best deal, it doesn't turn out to be the way we hoped or expected or wanted. When you pray, Tom, has it been the kind of prayer that I guess we're supposed to have, which is thy will be done, whatever you want to do, Lord, is fine by me? Or have you tried to negotiate? And when the negotiations don't work in your favor, how does Tom Kiley handle that as a man of faith?
Well, right now I'm at a point of negotiation because I was diagnosed with prostate cancer about 25 years ago.
Wow!
And,
okay,
it was a bit of a shock because I had been always very, very healthy, and I made a deal with God. He never really clamped down on his end, but I believe he did, that if he could get me to 80 years of age, which is one, that's like a quarter mile, a half mile, three quarters of a mile, 20 years for each of those segments. I said, look, I'm not gonna ask you for anything more. But now I'm about to become 80 in March, so.
Good knowing you, Tom.
Yeah. I hope it's not like a bankruptcy gradually, then all at once, you know.
So he has certainly been someone who graced you with a long and wonderful life, and clearly you'd like to stay around for the sake of those children and grandchildren and inspiring them by the quality of your life. But so when you pray, you have made the occasional deal, but at the end of the day, Tom Kiley is able to say, this is what I hope for, this is what I want, but be it done unto me according to your will. Can you say that?
It's been a wonderful life. It has been a wonderful life.
Okay, as you know, my favorite film, It's a Wonderful Life. The Frank Capra classic, you can't beat that. George Bailey. So, and you are George Bailey in so many ways, you know. I think we all think that because of the People magazine culture we live in, that, you know, you're supposed to have some extraordinary thing happen in everybody's life. But to me, it's what Mother Teresa says and Saint Therese said, you know, it's not important to do the extraordinary, but to do the ordinary with great love. And you, year after year, working hard, raising those kids, loving your wife, you actually have done that in season and out of season. And on top of that, had time to write a book, The Perfect Season, with our good friend. I remember we worked together, Chuck Mansfield and I, in the Catholic League, a great man like yourself. Tom Kiley, thank you so much. And just for the sake of our listeners and watchers who may want to read The Perfect Season, how do they get a copy?
Available at Amazon, very easy. It'll arrive a day and a half after you order.
Okay. Thank you so much for being a guest on Personally Speaking. And
it's done very well. One young man ordered 92 books from me.
Oh,
so
okay.
It has resonated from the very particular 8 weeks of 1961 outward to fans, friends, family, and resonated with people just in their everyday lives. So Chuck and I are very proud of that.
And I'm hoping at the Chaminade bookstore that this book is readily available to all the students so they can read about the dedicated heroes of the past who have maintained their friendship and their love and their faith over 60 years. Tom, it's a wonderful story, and thank you for sharing with us. And thank you for being with us on Personally Speaking, and our love to Barbara and the whole family.
It's our pleasure to be here, and we'll see you at 10:30 on Sunday.
See you at church, Tom. I want to thank you for being with us on Personally Speaking. If you need to reach me for any reason, you can write me at personallyspeakingpodcast@gmail.com. You probably listen to this program on the Catholic Channel, Channel 129. You can also watch us on YouTube at Personally Speaking with Monsignor Jim DeSanto. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be with you again next time on Personally Speaking.